Welcome back to Footsteps in the Attic, the podcast dedicated to all things strange, paranormal, and inspiring. And I want to thank my guest last week, the beautiful Sandrine Marlier, for promoting her new book, Odette's Alphabet. We had a nice chat. It is crazy the amount of guests that I have lined up for you guys. It's been the busiest year for guests so far, and we are not even halfway through. So lots more to come. I'm very excited and honored. So thank all of you guys for listening. If I hadn't announced it before, I am heading to Point Pleasant, West Virginia next month to explore the Mothman phenomenon, and I am very excited. I will be taking Psychic Grace with me. As you all know, she is a frequent guest on the show. And, you know, I got an email recently about Ed Gein, and many of you will know Ed Gein as the inspiration for such films as the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and, of course, Psycho, a.k.a. Norman Bates. And basically, the nuts and bolts of the article was that his cauldron, Ed Gein's cauldron, was up for sale in an auction. It had been purchased, and then weird things have been happening around this cauldron. Like, orbs are seen, people feel nauseous around it, and there is room temperature fluctuations. Of course, I am not shocked that such a sinister object attached to such a sinister human being would carry the vibration and, in essence, stir up paranormal activity. But it did get me thinking that I've never done an episode about Ed Gein on the show. And I don't normally dive into true crime too often, unless it's something really strange. But Ed Gein was so iconic, I didn't think I could let the opportunity pass up by not doing an episode on Ed. So tonight's episode will be about the famous psycho killer, Ed Gein. I don't like to read things directly on the podcast. I consider myself pretty well researched on most things, so I just like to talk. But this is an area that I thought I need a little brushing up. And I remember that I had an excellent magazine, Life Magazine, did a whole spread on strange hauntings and killers and things like that. And they did an article on Ed Gein. So tonight I'd like to read that because it's not too long, but it does give a great surmising of what happened and why Ed Gein is probably the most notorious killer in history. So if you will indulge me, tonight will be about Ed Gein, and we're going to start right now. Somewhere in Plainfield, Wisconsin Cemetery lies an unmarked grave belonging to the man, thanks to his Hollywood influence, who may be America's most infamous serial killer. In the same burial ground lies the remains of the women he dug up in the 1950s and turned into a perverse variety of handcrafts. Yes, you heard that right. Not surprisingly, the place is said to be haunted by the restless soul of one of Ed Gein's victims, unnamed in death as in life, prowling around the lonely graves. In November 1957, Plainfield was shaken to the core after a 58-year-old Bernice Warden, owner of the local hardware store, disappeared. Her son told the local sheriff that he'd found blood in the store and that a 51-year-old local handyman named Ed Gein had recently come in to buy some antifreeze. Tracing Gein down to the ramshackle, isolated farmhouse where the odd man had lived alone since the death of his mother, the sheriff found Warden hanging by her feet, decapitated and eviscerated in the shed. But that was only the beginning of the horror. In the garage-strewn house law enforcement officers found chairs reupholstered with fatty human skin, a soup bowl made from a human skull, a shade pool made of lips, masks made from human faces, a belt made of female nipples, a vest made from a female torso, embalming supplies, anatomy books, and detective magazines that Gene read by kerosene lamps. There were also human heads. One of those belonged to Mary Hogan, who had run a Plainfield tavern and had mysteriously disappeared in 1954. In the end, the remains of 11 women were discovered in the house, two of them, Hogan and Warden. Gene claimed to have shot those two to death, but nine had been unearthed from local graves. Many of them had been tanned, as in taxidermy, their flesh used by Gene as garments. The only immaculate part of his house was the nailed-shut room that belonged to his mother, Augusta. The fanatically religious woman had subjected her unstable son to ceaseless rants about the evils of women. Her alcoholic husband, George, died in 1940, followed by Gene's brother, Henry, under very mysterious circumstances in 1944, leaving Gene to share the house with his mother, the absolute love of his life. But when Augusta II died in 1945, Gene found himself alone. Well, almost. The necrophiliac bachelor started digging up graves using the remains of female bodies for company. He dressed in women's clothes, some fashioned from corpses, wishing that he had been born a woman. His mother had prayed for a daughter. Gene's oblivious neighbors found him mostly harmless. "Ed Gene, he once babysat for me," and said Mrs. George Foster as she told Life magazine. "He just sat there, ate peaches, and watched TV." Locals did, however, acknowledge that he was odd. He talked obsessively, for instance, about crime and women. Former girlfriend Adeline Watkins said, "We discussed every murder we heard about. Eddie explained the mistakes the murderer made." Declared insane in 1958, Gene died of cancer at the age of 77 in Mendota Mental Health Institute. But his perverse legacy endures, having inspired some of the greatest horror films ever made, among them, of course, the previously mentioned Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Silence of the Lambs, and a little-known classic called Deranged. But of course, the most enduring product of the Gene legend began in 1959, when a writer, Robert Block, published a potboiler novel called Psycho, which Alfred Hitchcock turned into the classic 1960 film. In it, Norman Bates, the character based on Gene, says, "A boy's best friend is his mother." And of course, those of you who know the lore of Psycho and how much time and effort Alfred Hitchcock took into producing it know that he mortgaged his own house to make sure that film was made because he believed in it, he knew it would rattle audiences, and he knew he had a hit. Of course, the studio tried to stop it. They thought it was too grotesque. They didn't like the violence, but Alfred Hitchcock knew how to skirt around all the, let's say, standards and practices team and get the shots in the film that he wanted in there. And of course, Psycho went on to be so disturbing that the actual shower industry had to change the way that they made shower curtains. They went from solid colors to clear, so people, when they showered, could see who was coming into the bathroom. And yes, next time you get in the shower and you pull back your clear shower curtain, you can know that Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho is what caused that shower curtain to be clear. And if you draw back a little further, it was actually Ed Gein and his villainous ways which caused your clear shower curtain. Well, that about sums up the Ed Gein phenomenon. I mean, honestly, some of the details are so grotesque, I couldn't read them. So I thought this article was just enough to give you a little taste. But if you want to do a deep dive into the Ed Gein murders, feel free. I just, you know, I like to eat later, so I don't want to hear too many of the details. I'll stick with ghosts and hauntings. But until next week, this is Brian Hobson for Footsteps in the Attic. We'll see you soon.